Well, good afternoon. Hope everybody's bellies are full. I know mine is. I was telling Brother Joshua, it's hard to preach in the afternoons. Sometimes, you know, on Sunday, especially as the weekend's coming to a close, everybody's getting ready to get home, take a little break, because everybody knows they got the work week. But I still can't think of a better place I'd rather be. I can't always be here on the afternoons, but I'm glad that I'm able to be here with you this afternoon. Something that's been on my mind, and I'll get to my subject here in just a minute. But something I do, you know, at night, we all have our routine. And last night I was sitting there, and Sammy had fallen asleep on my shoulder, and we were sitting there, and I was watching a show, and finally I was like, you know, okay, I guess I'll go on to bed now. And, you know, people pray at different times. I try my best not to wait till I go to bed to pray, because usually that means I'm going to fall asleep during my prayer, and that's happened a numerous number of times. And so, but last night I did pray right before I went to sleep, and I found myself praying in a way that I don't know that I have prayed, or maybe I should have prayed, but something Brother Sam mentioned this morning made me think of it, made me think of a lot of things this morning. And I just hope and pray that what's on my mind is of the Lord, and that it'll be a blessing unto you all. But last night I prayed not only to watch over my family, watch over Sammy, watch over Levi, and that he would continue to have his nice, calm temperament. After seeing some of my nieces and nephews last night, I love them to death. So if they hear this, they know I love them. But just the temperament's different, you know. And you see lots of kids, you see the temperaments just different. So I found myself praying for that, and also that God would help me. Because I think as I grow, or as Levi grows, I know I will grow. I know Sammy will grow, much as Taylor and Rachel, I'm sure, are growing and have grown in the last few months. And I got to thinking to myself, you know, lots of times the things that I carry with me, and this is kind of what Brother Sam was mentioning this morning, we have thoughts and memories of things that we carry with us that we wish we could forget. Regrets, there are actions maybe that we have done, things that we wish we could put out of our mind, but it doesn't always happen that way. And we carry that burden, that we carry it with us. Maybe it's guilt of something. Maybe it's something we've done. Maybe it's just, you know, a circumstance you wish you could do anything and go back and change. And just maybe there would have been a different outcome. I know there are times where I wish I would have gone back to college and told myself my freshman year that I would not have fallen asleep in my Calculus 2 class, and I would not have had to have repeated that course for a second time. And but if you've never taken Cal 2, you'll know why. I know one or two that have here that have taken it, and it's not fun. And but there are things that you just wish you could go back and say redo. And I think for me, it's time for me to learn to lay some things down. And I think it's a lesson for all of us to learn that sometimes we just need to lay it down. Amen. Lay it down, move on, get over some things. I can't help my memory. It'll, unless, you know, the Lord, I prayed last night that the Lord would help me to forget it, or to help at least help me lay it down and get this burden off of my back. And when it comes to the sermon or the thoughts that came to my mind, Brother Sam was down at Bethlehem yesterday, and he mentioned Galatians 16:14. But I want to back up to something else over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Now, I've heard that verse. I've read it 100 times, and sometimes when you read something, you may think of things differently. And it says in the latter part of the verse, "But unto us that which are saved, it is the power of God." So the preaching of the cross is power to you and me, and it can save us from a lot of troubles and trials and cares that we have. Now, we understand that if Brother Sam gets up here, or I myself, or Brother Josh gets up here and preaches the cross to you, you're not going to somehow mightily be born again by our power or by our voice. But if you take heed to the doctrines and heed to the teachings that is being presented to you, it can save you from a lot of trouble. And so Paul himself would tell the Corinthians in a couple of verses later in the latter part, in the beginning part of chapter 2, he says, "And I, brethren, came not to you with excellency of speech, nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He didn't want to, you know, so when we think about the preaching of the cross, I think, you know, in my mind, when I stop and pause and think about the preaching of the cross, what it does for me and what comfort it brings me and what peace it brings to me, I think about how many sermons there could be just on the cross of Christ. There could be maybe a sermon just on the day of the events of him leading up and going to get to Golgotha that day. We could probably preach about the Old Testament Passover and how he was that lamb that they partook of those for years and years and years, and how he was the sacrificial lamb, the pure, spotless, sinless lamb that was to come, that would come and take away the sins of his people. There's probably a million sermons that we could possibly come up with on the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, to you and me today, it's great power unto us. You have to think about those things, about how it doesn't matter maybe some of the guilt that weighs me down, or maybe the guilt that may weigh you down. Maybe you messed up. Maybe you should have done something. I know something that I'm burdened with right now that's really working on me is my schedule. My schedule is from about, I leave and go to work. It starts from about 7, goes to 5. I may try to hit the gym, get home, get in time. But, you know, Levi sleeps from 7 to 7. Well, that's 12 hours, and that's a great thing. All you mamas are like, oh, that's great. Yeah, it is a great thing, but it really narrows down the time of that I get to spend with him. And I can tell that it upsets Sammy when I don't get enough time with him, and she doesn't want me to do certain things. And so I'm having to readjust and rearrange and just adapt to this new lifestyle that I have. And so I know that when I, though that may make me feel guilty, I know that the Lord can help me rearrange some things. The Lord can help me rearrange some things at work, and I think he's already done that. Great, and I'm very thankful for that. But when we hear the preaching of the cross, we need to make sure that we hear the message of what it actually does for us, because to so many people in the world today, when they hear the preaching of the cross, they hear they don't hear that that the finished work of Jesus Christ was done by himself. Amen. We sing songs. See, I'm going to get to something here, though, in the last song that we sang. I'm going to kind of do this in a little two-part today. But we sing songs how he trotted the winepress along. We get that from over in Isaiah chapter 64, where he's talking about where Isaiah is talking about the vengeance of God and how he trotted the winepress along. Psalm 22 and verse 11 would tell us, and Psalm 22 is a very picture of the cross that David wrote in his day, and he would say over there that there was none to help him do that. And I'll tell you, what is your vision of the cross? What is your vision? Now see, Christ came, and he knew through each and every time that he's talking to his disciples, and through the times where they would run him out of cities, trial after trial after trial came upon him, yet he would constantly look to his disciples and say, my hour is not yet come. My time has not yet come. There was a point in time in which he would go to the cross, and he would go there alone. And we sit here and think about maybe the last prayer that he preached or that he prayed in John chapter 17, where he bowed his head and he says, Father, now the hour has come. Now glorify thy Son. I tell you, when we think about the preaching of the cross and the finished work of Christ Jesus, it means something to you and me that's different than others that are out there. Because I look at myself and I see the complete depravity that I have. And maybe you see the complete depravity that you have, and you realize that there was nobody, nothing out there in this world that could take away your sins except the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we read over here about Paul. Paul would go into, whether it was to the Corinthians or to the Galatians, he would say, God forbid, save I know anything except or save except Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ. And I've thought about this, and I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a transition. I want to first talk about maybe the messages that Paul would preach of Jesus Christ. But then I want to think about the irony of God, of Christ himself in the flesh, telling you and me to take our cross. What does that mean? I've always taken, you know, I'm just to be a good, faithful soldier for Jesus Christ. When I think of the cross, I want to kind of go a little bit deeper of the irony when Jesus Christ would say, take up thy cross and follow me. So we're talking about the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we read over in maybe a couple of places. I'm just going to start out in Hebrews 12, where Paul is telling the Hebrew people over there, and I want to just grab a verse or two out of this, about Jesus and His own cross, because this is about His cross. See, Jesus had His own cross to bear. He had His own point in time, His entire life from the time He was born. He had a point in time that He knew about, in which, and He knew the sacrifice that He was going to make, and it was His cross to bear. There was nobody else on this earth that could bear that cross but Himself. And He was the Son of God. Now, we can think about just how miraculous it was that He would come down from heaven. Now, Philippians chapter 2 would tell us that He thought it not robbery, but let's go. I'm just going to read it before I hit Philippians chapter 2 or Hebrews chapter 12. Philippians chapter 2 would tell us, if I can get there, who being in the form of God, verse 6, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This entire time, 33 years, He has a point in time knowing what He is coming to fulfill. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, it would tell, it's a warning to you and me. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, He's talking about all these children of faith that were mentioned in chapter 11. He's telling us now, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. The joy that was set before Himself. See, the entire time, and this is the irony of it, the entire time He knew His certain end, yet He didn't look at it as something that was not possible. He didn't look at it as something that was not achievable. He was looking at it, He was not even looking at it physically. He's looking beyond it. He's looking for the joy that was beyond the cross. And you know what the joy that was beyond the cross? The joy that was beyond the cross was you and me getting to go home with Him one of these days and reigning with Him as kings and priests with Him in eternal glory. That's why He could look beyond that cross. See, but our problem today, think now I'm kind of switching back and forth. You and I also have a cross, but we look at the cross. And we don't look beyond the cross. Brother Sam, you talk about ministers. Now that specific verse is talking to disciples of God. It's talking about ministers who were about to go preach the gospel. And that's over in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. I'm going to read those in just a minute. But if you want to know the verse of scripture that I'm referencing. But preachers and ministers and even disciples, we are all called to be disciples of Christ. We get focused on the challenge. We get focused on the cross that is in front of us instead of looking for the joy that is beyond the cross. I'm telling you, Brother Sam came in here and tried to preach every morning, wondering about everybody's problems instead of about the joy of enduring and talking to each and every one of you and bearing those burdens with you, as Galatians would tell us. And Brother Sam would be just looking at the cross. He wouldn't be looking for the joy that was beyond the cross, the joy of the labor. Why do we think that the Apostle Paul, in preaching the cross all of his life, would sit there and say, I have kept the faith? He says, I have run my... oh my goodness, if I can keep this right, he says over in Timothy, if I can just grab a quick verse, I don't want to misquote it for you all here. 2 Timothy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That is 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. He fought the good fight. Why? Because he didn't look at the shipwrecks. He didn't look at the snake bites that he got. He didn't think about them, how many times he gotten robbed. He didn't think about all the times that he'd been just cast down and cast into prison. He wasn't thinking about any of that. Him and Silas are in the Philippian jail and they're singing, not thinking about the very fact that they're in jail, but they were looking for the journeys and the adventures that would happen even just beyond that brief point in time of being in jail. And see, Jesus Christ, the entire time he lived his life, you think about all the sermons that he preached and all the times that he would go into cities and they would reject him. And his disciples are saying, James and John are saying, let us cast down fire and brimstone upon them and consume the Samaritans. He rebuked them and says, you know not what manner of spirit are you of? And they just left. Because all of these things that he did it leaving behind the last few teachings, the last few messages, because he had a point in time that he was to be delivered to, but he never looked at it. He always looked beyond it. It would say, it says, before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. I tell you, when we think about the preaching of the cross, I tell you, I am very thankful for the sacrifice, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and what he did for each and every one of us here, his entire elect family of God. But I am thankful that he didn't look at it, but he looked beyond it for the joy that was set before him. And the joy was that he was going to get to dwell in eternity with every single one of us and all of his children that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So what's the message to you and me today? Well, over there in, we'll look at it, and before I get to that, I want to read. What did we read today? We sang it right before we got up. Tell me not of gain or loss, ease, enjoyment, pomp, or power. Welcome poverty and cross, shame, reproach, affliction's hour. Follow me, I know thy voice, Jesus Lord, thy steps I see. Now I take this yoke by choice, light thy burden now to me. If that could sum up my sermon in one, that could sum, because that was everything that was on my mind over the last 24 hours, was the very fact that that cross means your afflictions. Now let's go and read it. I'm going to read a couple of things for you. Over in Matthew 10, 38, it would say, and he that taketh not his cross and follow me after me is not worthy of me. Mark 8 would tell us this. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself. That means that, what does that really mean? That means you have to literally deny your own personal feelings about how you feel about things. You have to really put aside your own selfishness. You're having to have self-denial. In other words, when problems and afflictions come, it's not any greater or bigger than just keeping to fighting the faith that you have set before us, that you are fighting the faith, the fight that Paul fought in his day. John Gill would write this, and I like this so much I wrote it down. And it says, by the cross, in this section, I would say it this way. We know that the cross was the Roman punishment to all male members of society. It was the Roman punishment, and our men of all sorts of afflictions, reproaches, persecutions, and death itself, and particularly the ill will, hatred, and persecution of near relations and friends, which is expected by those who bear a faithful testimony of Christ. When Jesus Christ is telling us to take up our cross and follow after him, it means to literally take up the same thought that he knew that he was going to be afflicted. He knew that he was going to be hated. He knew that he was going to have ill will. And he knew that he was going to have reproaches and persecutions and even death itself. And he's saying, for you and me, knowing the very certainty that persecutions are going to come, ill will is going to come your way, reproaches are going to come your way, persecutions are going to come your way, he's saying, deny yourself and take this cross, knowing what it bears, knowing what comes along with it, he says, and follow me. But he says something in verse 38 of Matthew 10 that he doesn't say over here in Mark 8 and 34. He says, if you don't take up your cross, he says, and follow after him, he says, you're not worthy of me. The Bible tells us that a good name is better than in great riches or in gold, okay? When we take upon the name of Christ, see, in the Ten Commandments, it would tell us to not take the name of the Lord in vain. And we also need to recognize that when we go back here, or wherever you may have been baptized, or wherever that may have been, and you baptize yourself, publicly professing that you love Jesus Christ and that you are going to walk as in newness of life, as a new creature, because you want to take up your cross and follow after Christ, you have taken the name of Christ. Why is it that the world sees Christians as hypocritical? Because Christians are out there taking the name of Christ in vain. They're not taking up their cross and bearing it the way they should. Gill would add that every minister or disciple of Christ has his own cross. It's very specific to that person, because that's the person that God called. That is God's, that's the one that he called in service to him. It's his own particular afflictions, appointed by God and placed on him by Christ, which we should cheerfully take up. And when I saw that, I really just kind of hit me like a brick, Brother Sam. How many times did Paul's talking about the preaching of the cross. He's talking about the very thing that Christ did for you and me that we couldn't do, yet Jesus himself would say, now you as my disciples, I want you to take your own cross, your own specific cross. It's personal to you, and it's not going to be easy. And I can tell you, in 13 years of trying to speak before God's people, I first started in 2005, and the last few years of being ordained, as Brother McNeil Honey, as you talk about him, and if he gets this, I just tell him I love him, and I know what's set before him, because none of it's easy. Getting up here and talking and preaching and trying to do what the Lord has called you to do is not easy. But guess what? I'm to cheerfully do it anyways. Yes, it's tiring. I told somebody at work the other day that I go and travel around on weekends, and sometimes I'm here locally. And Brother Sam, I thought about him preaching 7 times over there in Georgia last week. And I got to thinking, you know, Brother Sam told me, he says, I'm tired. But you were happy about it, weren't you? Didn't you enjoy that? And Paul himself, in preaching the cross all of his life, cheerfully enjoyed every moment that he had, to the very end, writing letters to the churches, telling him how much he loved him. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God for your faith. I thank that in my absence that I'm hearing great news about you, and that you're rejoicing in the love of God. And I tell you, that's what the preaching of the cross can do for us, it can fill the voids in our lives that even we think we want to fill it with everything else in life. But I tell you, if we preach the cross correctly and we preach the finished work of Christ, and then that God himself in the form of his Son, Colossians would tell it this way. If I can get over there, Colossians chapter 2. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, Christ's cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, and wicked by wicked works, and yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We are unblameable. We are unreprovable. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall princes, shall powers, or all these things that Romans 8 tells us? No, of course not. And I'll tell you, for that very reason, you and I are called to take our own cross. And we don't look at that cross while we live. Honestly, every morning that I wake up on Sundays, if I were preaching somewhere, I could stress myself out to where I could not preach God's word. If I woke up every day stressed out about raising my children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I said children, I got one, right? Okay, one at a time, right? One at a time. If I wake up every morning with that care on my mind of having to go to work and provide for my family, if I let all of that burden me, I'm looking at the cross and I'm not looking at the joy that is set before me 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, where I can maybe, like Paul, one of these days, and look back and say, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. We have our own cross, but I'm begging you, don't look at your cross. I sit here and, you know, I know me and Sister Karen have talked about her children. Sorry, Daniel, you're the one present today. and talked about raising them up. And I've enjoyed hearing the stories. But you know what? I love it when parents look at me and say, but I look back and I loved every minute of it. It was hard. My dad will tell you looking at me. I've heard him preach this, and I'm like in my 20s at the time, and I'm like, aren't you ready to let it go? But he's not. And he looks back and he says, but you know what? I would not have traded any of that time for anything else. You know what? You and I can get depressed and so bogged down at looking at the very challenge that's right in front of us today, tomorrow, and next week, whether it be illness, sickness, maybe a family member that has died. And it hurts. But if we dwell on it, if we let it just eat at us as a canker, and we just let it, like a thorn that is festering in our fingers, I'll tell you, you'll wind up depressed and discouraged, and you will lose sight of your own cross to bear. Because as Gil pointed out, and I don't want to forget I mentioned this, I know I had like several more notes, but it says, which we should cheerfully take up and patiently bear. And why do we do it? It's all for Christ's sake. See, we don't think about it, about how sometimes the patience that we have to endure, it was patience that we did these things, that we do these things. And again, this is an illusion of the custom that persons sentenced to be crucified to carry their own cross, just as Christ did. You think about Christ physically having to carry his own cross. Yes, you are going to physically carry those burdens each and every day that you live. You physically carry them on your mind, the memories that we cannot forget, the mistakes that we may have had in our life, but you don't think about them because we have a joy that is set before us. That's why we endure them. It's for the joy that is on the other side that we have. With all of that, I'm just going to stop. I think I've got some more to add to this one of these days, but my notes are not finished on all that. So may the Lord bless you is my prayer. Come ahead, Brother Sam. Amen.